Gilbert Keith Chesterton, The Secret of Father Brown, Best Cases. The Secret of Father Brown. Flambeau, once the most famous criminal in France and later a very private detective in England, had long retired from both professions. Some say a career of crime had left him with too many scruples for a career of detection. Anyway, after a life of romantic escapes and tricks of evasion, he had ended at what some might consider an appropriate address, in a castle in Spain. The castle, however, was solid though relatively small, and the black vineyard and green stripes of kitchen garden covered a respectable square on the brown hillside. For Flambeau, after all his violent adventures, still possessed what is possessed by so many Latins, what is absent, for instance, in so many Americans, the energy to retire. It can be seen in many a large hotel proprietor whose one ambition is to be a small peasant. It can be seen in many a French provincial shopkeeper who pauses at the moment when he might develop into a detestable millionaire and buy a street of shops, to fall back quietly and comfortably on domesticity and dominoes. Flambeau had casually and almost abruptly fallen in love with a Spanish lady, married and brought up a large family on a Spanish estate, without displaying any apparent desire to stray again beyond its borders. But on one particular morning, he was observed by his family to be unusually restless and excited, and he outran the little boys and descended the greater part of the long mountain slope to meet the visitor who was coming across the valley, even when the visitor was still a black dot in the distance. The black dot gradually increased in size, without very much altering in the shape, for it continued, roughly speaking, to be both round and black. The black clothes of clerics were not unknown upon these hills, but these clothes, however clerical, had about them something at once commonplace and yet almost jaunty in comparison with the hassock or soutane, and marked the wearer as a man from the northwestern islands, as clearly as if he had been labelled Clapham Junction. He carried a short thick umbrella with a knob like a club, at the sight of which his Latin friend almost shed tears of sentiment, for it had figured in many adventures that they shared long ago. For this was the Frenchman's English friend, Father Brown, paying a long-desired but long-delayed visit. They had corresponded constantly, but they had not met for years. Father Brown was soon established in the family circle, which was quite large enough to give the general sense of company or a community. He was introduced to the big wooden images of the three kings of painted and gilded wood who bring the gifts to the children at Christmas, for Spain is a country where the affairs of the children bulk large in the life of the home. He was introduced to the dog and the cat and the livestock on the farm, but he was also, as it happened, introduced to one neighbour who, like himself, had brought into that valley the garb and manners of distant lands. It was on the third night of the priest's stay at the little chateau that he beheld a stately stranger who paid his respects to the Spanish household with bows that no Spanish grandee could emulate. He was a tall, thin, grey-haired and very handsome gentleman, and his hands, cuffs and cufflinks had something overpowering in their polish. But his long face had nothing of that languor which is associated with long cuffs and manicuring in the caricatures of our own country. It was rather arrestingly alert and keen, and the eyes had an innocent intensity of inquiry that does not go often with grey hairs. That alone might have marked the man's nationality, as well as the nasal tone in his refined voice and his rather too ready assumption of the vast antiquity of all the European things around him. This was indeed no less a person than Mr. Grandison Chase of Boston, an American traveller who had halted for a time in his American travels by taking a lease of the adjoining estate, a somewhat similar castle on a somewhat similar hill. He delighted in his old castle, and he regarded his friendly neighbour as a local antiquity of the same type. For Flambeau managed, as we have said, really to look retired in the sense of rooted. He might have grown there with his own vine and fig tree for ages. He had resumed his real family name of Duroc, for the other title of The Torch had only been a title de guerre, like that under which such a man will often wage war on society. He was fond of his wife and family. He never went farther afield than was needed for a little shooting. And he seemed, to the American globetrotter, the embodiment of that cult of a sunny respectability and a temperate luxury, which the American was wise enough to see and admire in the Mediterranean peoples. The rolling stone from the west was glad to rest for a moment on this rock in the south that had gathered so very much moss. But Mr. Chase had heard of Father Brown, and his tone faintly changed as towards a celebrity. The interviewing instinct awoke, tactful but tense. If he did try to draw Father Brown, as if he were a tooth, it was done with the most dexterous and painless American dentistry.